We were in a missions conference over in Auburn, Maine, right before this, and my children at that missions conference had the opportunity to sing the songs they just sang. And the next day, we show up at the church. I don't think everybody heard this, but the man that was outside grilling, I was also grilling because it was an international banquet, but the man that was outside grilling told me this. He says, "I had that song on my mind all day. It just kept playing over and over and over in my mind. Oh, we must tell them. They need to hear the gospel." And it was fun to hear that testimony. It was an encouragement to hear that. And as I thought of it, I've thought of some of the other songs and just music that we've had the opportunity to be a part of. One song that I haven't sang as much is based off of Amazing Grace, and I don't sing it as much, partially because I'm expected to preach, and my singing voice and preaching voice don't get along together too well. But when I do sing it, the problem is we get to the end of it and you almost need to give an invitation. Pastors don't know how to follow the song up. I don't know if I could follow the song up. It's convicting because it talks about God's amazing grace for us. And yet, how will they know if they don't ever hear about it? It's great for us, but what about those that don't know about Christ? And it just gets convicting when we think about those aspects of the gospel that God has given us. There is somebody out there today that if you don't go and tell them, they're still in that darkness, dying and going to hell. And sometimes what we need is a step of faith to go and share the gospel. You might say, well, that's not a step of faith. And let me tell you, that is a step of faith for some people. For my family, the step of faith came in a little bit different direction when God called us to be missionaries. And what I want to look at tonight is the calling and sending of a missionary. And there's only one missionary that I know in our scriptures that we find a calling and sending of. And I could be corrected on that, but Acts chapter 13 has the calling and sending of a man by the name of Paul and Barnabas, the first missionary sent out of that church at Antioch. But as I think about this, as this church was considering who do we send out, there had to be a step of faith that was taken. There had to be a step of faith. As I consider our own calling to Bulgaria and just the process that we went through, after we were called, I went to my pastor and I told my pastor, "I believe God is calling us to the mission field." And pastor said, "That's awesome. And I believe the first thing you should do is go to your pastor if you're called to be a missionary and seek his counsel." That's the counsel that God's put in your life, the authority God's put in your life. Go to him and see what he says. If you're called to be a missionary, I'm sure your pastor's going to get pretty excited about it. My pastor did. And my pastor said, "Well, I have some things I would like you to do." And one of the things that he said was, "I want you to find a mission board." And I said, "Oh, goody. There's only a couple thousand independent mission boards out there. You want to talk about a trial of faith? Try finding a mission board." Luckily, I knew some pastors. I actually talked with about three of them, and they all had some ideas for me and shared with me some directions to look. And it was interesting to get it from the three different pastors that I talked to. But what it came down to was do your research, figure out which one works best for you all, and then take that mission board. Ultimately, our first choice for a mission board didn't work out. We took the step of faith. We start looking for a mission board. Get to talking to one, we're encouraged by it, think it might be the one we'll go with, and as we're in conversations, this part comes up of, "Well, we don't have anybody in Bulgaria. Why don't you go to Romania instead?" God gave me a simple answer to that. He didn't call us to Romania. He called us to go to Bulgaria. That's where we need to go. And you know, as we seemingly had a door close on that calling with that mission board, another door opened up because it's God calling us to go to Bulgaria. And that door was Brother Hembry, who is the European director with BIMI. He sent me an email saying, "Brother Schiffbauer, we're looking forward to meeting you in November. Get your application finished." That's the essence of the email he sent me. And let me tell you, when he sent that email, I had 1 month till their deadline to get an application finished. Talk about a step of faith. A month to get 7 physicals. Luckily, they gave us a little bit of an extension, and it's a miracle. COVID's happening. We got 7 physicals done all in one day, I believe. Maybe 2. But as I think about that, it's just amazing. We got everything that was required done in 1 month. A little extension on physicals. We went before that referral committee. We did it during 2020, so we did a little bit different from everybody else because COVID, you know, messed everything up for everybody. So we did a referral committee, went and had the most nerve-wracking experience sitting before a mission director and several pastors from the local area there in Chattanooga and a board member or two, and they got to ask us 1,001 questions. The only thing that was more nerve-wracking than that was when I got ordained and the questions that were asked there. But then, you know, your hands are sweaty, your knuckles are white, and you're wondering, what's the decision going to be? And then they refer you to be missionaries with BIMI. Now, that referral process just meant we got to go before the board of directors for a vote. And so then in December of 2020, we go to the board, and we get accepted to be missionaries under BIMI. We get their endorsement. This is an exciting time for us. We've taken some steps of faith to this point. We're called to be missionaries. We know that. We've gone to our local pastor. Now we have the mission board. Now it's time to start planning deputation. It's time to start getting meeting schedules. It's time to start getting material put together. And you want to talk about another nerve-wracking time. I start making phone calls. I know probably about 5 pastors, and I give them a call, schedule meetings, and another steps of faith have to happen. Now I have to call pastors I've never met in my life before and ask them if I can come present at their churches. By the way, that's what happened here. I've never met Pastor Linville before and give him a call. So not at this time. We're not looking to take anybody on, but we'll keep you on the record, I believe, is what happened. And then I get a call back, and it's God's timing to put together a missions conference. Why? Because we took those steps of faith and made the calls, tried to get things scheduled. The thing that was most amazing to me, as we took those steps of faith, God gave us a meeting before I planned on starting deputation. 2 weeks before I planned on starting. And I was nervous going into that meeting. I won't admit I'm nervous very often because I can put on a pretty good front and keep those emotions kind of tucked back. But I was pretty nervous. They wanted me to come down to their missions conference before we had any materials ready, before we were even had a presentation. We didn't even have a script put together all the way for our video. And they want us to come and present our ministry. And so we did. And I blew it in my mind. And the church takes us on almost before our sending church started giving us support. How does stuff like that happen? It can only happen if God's in it. And with that in mind, I want to just give one more anecdote, and then we're going to get into Acts chapter 13 and really look at what this passage says. And my anecdote is a quick and simple one. When we were in Bulgaria, we got to meet a young man by the name of Ivo. Ivo got saved at 30 years old because he found a gospel tract. He didn't say where he found it. He wasn't handed it, but he found a gospel tract and read that gospel tract, realized he was a sinner, and got saved, put his trust in Jesus Christ. And it's an amazing story. Maybe I've told it already once before, but it's worth repeating. But Ivo got saved that day. And after his salvation, Ivo knew he needed to go to church, and so he started looking for that church to attend. He spent 8 years looking for a church. Couldn't find one. He moved from his hometown of Plovdiv over into a town by the name of Sofia. And while he was looking at Facebook, he found this church by the name of Bible Baptist Church. And I always hesitate because I don't say the name, but it was in the gypsy portion of Sofia, Bulgaria. And he found that church and he went to that church and he's going to it faithfully. He found what he desired. And not only does he go to church, but he goes to all three of the services. He has to walk the 30 minutes to get to the church services, but he goes to the services. He's faithful there. He goes out soul winning with the gypsies. He is involved in the Bible Institute. He has a desire to see a church planted in his hometown of Plovdiv. But as we were talking, he asked a question: why haven't the missionaries come to Bulgaria? Our country opened in 2003. Why haven't the missionaries come to my country? That's a good question. Why haven't they come? And as I've said that time and time in presentation of my field, I can't help but remember a movie, and I'm not going to recall the name of the movie, but in it, it's a Bob Jones film. But in it, there's a man that's asked by a Muslim man, why haven't missionaries come? Why hasn't God sent you young men? And the missionary's response was, no doubt God is calling young men to come, but he doesn't make them go. He doesn't make them go. So why aren't missionaries going? To me, part of it, I think, is there's a fear of that step of faith that is needed. There's a fear of understanding what a missionary is and how a missionary is called and sent out. And I've shared my calling here. I can't explain it all. I just know that's where I'm supposed to go. Talking with Pastor knew this was where he was supposed to be. And God lets you know that. I wish I could say I saw the Lord Jesus Christ like Paul did, Saul, when he got saved and he told me, you're going to go to Bulgaria. It'd make things a whole lot easier. He didn't do that for me, but he sure has allowed me to know this is where you're supposed to go. So with that in mind, let's look at this passage, Acts chapter 13. And what we're going to find is the calling and sending of a missionary. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. I'm actually taking two separate messages, and I'm going to try to mesh them together. So I want to look at this, the calling and sending of a missionary, and then I want to ask some questions. If we're going to be missionaries, there's some questions that we need to ask ourselves. And so with this in mind, this is my goal for this evening. The first thing that I want to see as we start reading through here is that a missionary must be in the church. Acts chapter 13, starting at verse number 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. And our scripture tells us this: now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which has been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. They sent them away. So being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the message here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, I just want to thank you for the time to be able to come before you to preach, to look at your word. Lord, as we get into this message, I just pray that you give me the words to say. Fill me with your spirit. Fill this place with your presence, Lord. Apply your words to our heart, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I see is that a missionary must be in the church. We start out here, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets. Where are we starting out? We're starting out in a church. We're starting out in a church. To be a missionary, to be considered for a field, you must be inside a church. And I notice here it says that it was the church at Antioch. And as I mentioned before, it's not the church at Jerusalem sending out missionaries. You would think it'd be that church that would get the opportunity to be the major driving force in missionaries going throughout the world, but it's not. They received persecution, and that persecution forced people to go to places such as Antioch. Where after 2 years, you find a man by the name of Saul who got saved being taught by an man by the name of Barnabas. And this teaching that happened in a local church. A local church, just like this local church. There was teaching, there was training, there was a mentorship that went on. And it all happened within the church. Now, the thing I find interesting in this is we have a shortage of something called pastors in the United States of America today. I believe I've mentioned that before. But if we take the biblical model, every pastor ought to have their Saul, their Paul that they're training. You know, so often we look at this passage and we think of Paul being that one that was the great missionary, but Barnabas was the one that came alongside of him and trained him and taught him. Took him when the apostles wanted nothing to do with him. Why? Because this man's a traitor. He's going to kill us and just wants to get inside information on us and send us all to prison or stone us like he did Stephen. And so we have this idea, and yet Barnabas came alongside of him, trained him for 2 years, to the point where now they're ready to go out into the world and to preach the gospel. They're ready to go out from the church at Antioch. And we find that this church had these prophets. They had men that were teachers, such as Barnabas and Simeon and Lucius and Manaen and Saul. These men were being trained within their church. They were serving in their church, which brings me to the second thing I like to see out of this passage, and that is that a missionary must be usable within the church. They must be usable. Barnabas was used within the church. He was that person that came alongside, that comforter. I want to say the son of consolation, and I might be off on that, but there's just so much that you could look at. Barnabas was used inside of his church. Saul was preaching inside of the church and was being used inside of the church. And so we find that if we're going to be a missionary, if we're going to be sent, if we're going to be called, then we have to be usable. And where do we prove that? We prove that in our church. Right here. Pastor mentioned it last night. We're all called to ministry, and that's a great statement, and it's the truth. It's scriptural. We're all called to ministry. What ministry are we called to? Something that I enjoy going over, and I'm not doing it here, but is the spiritual gifts that God gives to our church. And those spiritual gifts are for the edification of the church, for the unity of the church. And let me just make the statement that whatever God has called you to do, He will gift you to do. You ought to take the step of faith and use those gifts for God's glory and minister within your local church. And once we're ministering in our local church, then we can be considered for that missionary prospect. As I think of that, we must be in the church. I'm going to go back to that point just briefly, and I'm going to just share a little bit of our testimony. As we resigned from Metro Baptist Church, I knew that the first thing that my family needed to do was be in a church. And that Sunday, we went to Olivet Baptist Church. We joined the membership. And the second thing I said is, I'm just coming out of a resignation, not a very good feeling to resign, not a great relationship there with the church members. And so I'm resigning. I know I need to be in church with people. And the second step I knew that I needed to do personally was I needed to serve within the church. We just mentioned that we need to prove that we're usable. Barnabas and Saul were usable inside the church. They were ministering inside the church. I took the opportunity as soon as I got to church to go to my pastor, Pastor Andrenison, and say, "Pastor, where can I serve?" And Pastor said, "Oh boy, we've got plenty of places for you to serve." We're in a fairly large church for our area, and you would think that more people would serve in a large church. But they don't. They don't. And so Pastor had areas of need, and those areas of need were areas where we could step in to where I was teaching Wednesday night services. Not services, Wednesday night children's services. I got to preach at kids every Wednesday night. It was the greatest thing in the world. God called me to preach. I should be preaching, and so I got to preach. And it was a blessing because up to that point, there wasn't a man that was willing to step up and preach to those young children. It was a blessing to the church. But we had to be usable. We had to prove that we were usable within the church. Barnabas and Saul were used in the church in Antioch. Verse 1 tells us that. It says there were certain prophets and teachers. And in our list, we find the man Barnabas. We find Simeon again. We find Lucius. We find Manaen. And we find Saul. All those men were being used. They were prophets and teachers in the church at Antioch. So far, we find that a missionary must be in the church. A missionary must prove that he is usable. And a missionary must be an utterly dedicated man. And this is where we come into verse number 2 here, where it says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.'" They're dedicated to the Lord's will, to going and doing what God wants them to do. As I read through that, they were ministering to the Lord. They fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, "Separate them for the work I have called them to do." The Lord separated them. But these men wouldn't have known that unless they were praying and fasting, unless they were seeking the Lord's will. And when they sought God's will, they knew that when they knew what it was, they would be dedicated to doing that will. The missionary must be dedicated. And a missionary must receive a definite call to service. Again, verse number 2, we see a definite call here. "To separate me, Saul," or Barnabas and Saul, "for the work whereunto I have called them." Who called them? God called them. Oftentimes I've heard it preached, well, a church calls a pastor. A church doesn't call a pastor. God calls a pastor. And the church gets to confirm a pastor's calling. God calls a missionary. And a church gets to confirm that missionary's calling. That's why I went to my church. And with COVID going on, my pastor told me, find that mission board. And what we failed to do was go to the mission committee and do all the normal procedures. Because COVID's happening, nothing works right. And quite honestly, I didn't know about it, and Pastor Anderson forgot about it. It's great when that happens. So we didn't do anything according to the program or plan that's already put in place. We were supposed to go before that missions committee, talk with them, and have a good conversation. We were already approved by BIMI before we did that. So we got to go before them and tell them, we're already approved. We're going to Bulgaria. And they were excited we're going to Bulgaria. God called us to go and serve him in Bulgaria. And the church confirmed that calling. And there's nothing greater than that confirmation service that we were able to have where our church said, we're sending them to Bulgaria to go. I'm saying confirmation. It's not confirmation. It was a commissioning service. I ought to get my terminology correct. Confirmation, something totally different. If you're Catholic, you probably know what that is. We had a commissioning service where we were commissioned to go to Bulgaria. And my local church did that for us. And it's an exciting time. And it was a great time in the church. And everybody got excited about the call that God has put in our lives. And they sent us to Bulgaria. And we find a church, we find men being sent out here. And quite frankly, it says they got excited. In verse number 3, it says, "When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." We're Baptists. When we get excited, we do the opposite. We go and eat. But here they got excited, and so they fasted and prayed and sent them away to go to the mission field, to the work that God had called them to do. It was an exciting time for the church. It was a definite call to service, but a missionary must also be willing to work with other people. And as I look at this passage, it's interesting. God called two people to go to the field. He called Barnabas and Saul. Quite honestly, I wish God would have called another person from my church to go to Bulgaria with us. It'd be a lot easier if there's two of us. But God didn't call another family, another missionary from my home church. What he did is he had a missionary already in the field who's praying for another missionary to come to Bulgaria. And God answered his prayer. When we knew we had this call to Bulgaria, one of the things that I did was I started researching the missionaries that were there. And I found one, my wife actually found one, and she found a phone number, and I got the phone number, and so I gave the missionary a call. And so I'm on the phone, it's ringing, and I say, "Hello, my name's Dan Schiffbauer, and God's calling me to be a missionary to Bulgaria." I was expecting to hear something back from the missionary, and I got dead silence for about 2 minutes on the phone. He goes, "I almost passed out. People don't call my number and tell me they're called to come to Bulgaria. We've been praying for somebody to come." And while that particular man isn't who we're going to end up working with, God allowed him to connect us with another missionary who is looking for somebody to come and mentor under him, to learn from him, to be taught how to reach the Bulgarian people. Bulgarians are different. I'm excited to have somebody that's been doing it for 6 years that I can go learn from. The other three missionaries in the country that we found have been there for 18 years doing ministry. And you better believe I will learn from them as well. But if we go, we better be willing to work with other people. Barnabas and Saul went out. We can look at the account later on. It was Paul and John Mark who was useful for a time and then fell away and quite honestly was kind of disregarded for a bit until Paul said, "He's useful to me again." We've got to be able to work with other people for the glory of God. We find again in verse number 4, "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. They went out by twos from the church." And I believe that is a principle we could apply. As I go to Bulgaria, it is so much better to go out with Brother Jeff. I'll just say his name, Brother Jeff, and to go out by twos, to have that fellowship, that time while you're passing out literature together, to encourage one another. It can get discouraging otherwise. And so there's wisdom in the scriptures here when it says to work with others. But we also find here that a missionary must be in fellowship with the local church. And as I look, I see verse number 3 there, and it says, "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." To be sent away, they had to be in fellowship with the local church. I had to be in fellowship with Olivet Baptist Church so they could send me to the country of Bulgaria. I still love my church. My church has problems, as does any church out there in the world. But I love my church. I love my pastor. I'm to be in fellowship with my local church. After all, it's who I am accountable to. By the way, one of the things I love about BIMI is the first question I always get asked is, "Have you asked your pastor that question yet?" It goes back to your pastor, because your pastor has that authority over you. What I usually get to say is, "Yes, I've asked my pastor, and he told me to ask you, so please give me your counsel." That's a fun conversation to have, but you know, this is what happens sometimes, and we can expect this, but a missionary must be in fellowship with their local church in order to be sent. So here is what we see with the calling and sending of a missionary. A missionary must be in the church. They must prove that they are usable. They must be an utterly dedicated man. They must receive a definite call to service, and they must be willing to work with others and must be in fellowship with the local church. That's 6 points, and I took like 10 minutes to preach through them quickly. But now I have my secondary message, and so we've got some questions that I can ask out of this passage. If we're called to ministry, or if we're called even to make a big decision, as oftentimes we get to do in churches, there's some questions that we can ask ourselves. If we're asking, "Am I called to be a missionary?" then let's ask ourselves 5 questions. If we're saying, "Am I called to be a deacon in the church?" let's ask ourselves 5 questions. If I'm a pastor of the church, let's ask these 5 questions and see how it impacts our lives. And these 5 questions, again, come out of Acts 13, verses 1 through 5. And the first question that I see out of here is, "Am I serving faithfully where I am?" Pastor of the church, are you serving faithfully where you are at? Missionary going to Bulgaria, are you serving faithfully where you're at? My missionary is a deputation ministry at the current moment. I don't know how to describe it. I'm traveling all the time. The only times I get to go out and preach the gospel or soul win is when I'm with a local church somewhere. And I try to do it with local churches because it's better that way. I get to know people. But we find that question of, am I serving faithfully where I am? Part of my ministry is making phone calls, confirming meetings, trying to schedule new meetings. Am I doing that faithfully? Because that's the part of the deputation where I'm at. We might have Sunday school teachers or people who want to be Sunday school teachers, and let's ask the question to ourselves, am I serving faithfully where I'm at here in church? Am I studying the lessons? Am I preparing so that I can teach the children? By the way, I believe every Sunday school teacher needs a helper. Is the helper studying and being prepared? They ought to be. They ought to be. You know, we could look at so many other ministries within the church. The deacon, are we serving faithfully as a deacon in the church? One of the two offices, pastor and deacon. Are you serving faithfully in the church? Are you being that right-hand help to your pastor within the church? Serving faithfully is a huge question to ask. But if we're not serving faithfully, we shouldn't be considering the mission field. By the way, if we're not serving faithfully, we shouldn't be considering different ministries. Let's first evaluate, how is God using me in the ministries I'm in currently? Do that evaluation, and then we can consider the next question I have. As I see that, again, we come back into the scripture. We find that they were in the church that was in Antioch. We find these names that were prophets and teachers. We find that they were serving their local church, and they were serving faithfully. And because they were serving faithfully, they were considered for being missionaries. And the Lord separated out Barnabas and Saul. That's the answer to the question out of our passage. The next question I see is, am I seeking counsel? Am I seeking counsel? If God's called us to a ministry or a ministry change, the first counsel that we have is our pastor within the local church. If God's calling me to be a missionary, I've shared it already. First place I go to my pastor and ask him, share my burden. That's the first step. If we're thinking of a ministry change within our local church, the first step is to talk to pastor. Maybe we don't have a soul winning program, and God lays it on your heart to start one. Let's start by seeking counsel from pastor and go to him and share the burden and see what his thoughts are. If I think God wants me to teach Sunday school, I should go to pastor and probably talk to him. As I considered missionary service, as I considered resigning from Metro Baptist Church and that call that God had for me there, I sought counsel. I sought counsel from my childhood pastor that I grew up with. One, because as a pastor, I had no clue what I was doing, and any wisdom that was older and better than mine was going to be better than mine. So I sought that counsel. We can also apply a scriptural principle there. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. So for me, that meant I called Pastor Johnson, and then Pastor Johnson helped me, counseled me through that time, counseled me as we sought to go to Bulgaria. I went to Pastor Anderson, and I went to Pastor Anderson through both of those times as well, because I looked up to him. He was the last pastor that we had sent under, and quite honestly, I desired his counsel. I went to the man that mentored me, Pastor Fitzsimmons, and he mentored me, and he took the time to answer my questions and to say, is this a good idea? Going to Bulgaria. I asked all three of those men about that. They all said, if God's called you, you better go. you better go. My pastor said, find a mission board. And under the authority of my pastor, we found a mission board. And it's just exciting. But are we seeking counsel? As we consider changes in ministry, as we consider when we make the big decisions, are we seeking the counsel of those in authority over us? Are we seeking that wisdom that comes from a multitude of counselors? It's wise to do that. And we see that here. Again, I'm going to come back to verse number one. We see that there were certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. We have a multitude of counselors there, all of them with different backgrounds. One of the other people that I went to for counsel was my dad. I love my dad. My dad got saved when I was 16 years old, and he's grown a lot in his walk with the Lord. And oftentimes I call my dad because my dad just has a different type of wisdom about him. Sometimes I might describe it as more of a worldly wisdom from the life he lived before salvation and the life that he's lived past his salvation. And so I ask him for his counsel. But I find that counsel in that multitude. We have a man here who was with Herod the Tetrarch that was in the multitude of counselors. We have Barnabas. We have Simeon that was called Niger. Hey, there's just so much there to look at and unpack. But am I seeking counsel? And if we are, if we're there at that point and we're seeking the counsel, what is our next question? What is our next step that we should do? Well, the next question is, am I fasting? Am I fasting? If God's called you to go to a foreign country, let me say it's worth fasting over to see if God will confirm that call to you. Americans, I don't think, like this word unless they call it intermittent fasting. And all they're trying to do is just starve themselves. So you probably know where I stand on the subject. But if we're going to fast, if we're going to make a big decision, if we're going to go to a foreign field, we ought to fast about it and seek the Lord's will. That's what they did here in this passage. We can see that plainly. It says in verse 3, and when they had fasted, they took the time to set apart, to not eat anything, to implore and seek the will of God in their lives. And so they fasted. If you're making a big decision, have you fasted about it? If God's calling you to the mission field, have you fasted about it? And secondly, and pretty easy, it comes with fasting typically, am I praying about the decision? God calls us to the field, we should pray about it. There's no better time to pray about it than when we're fasting. That's what we find the apostles doing. And the last thing I see and last thing that I can ask is, am I listening? Am I listening? In our passage, they had to listen for the response. They prayed about sending somebody out. They prayed about the men that were there. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. They sent them away. If they weren't listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit, they wouldn't have sent Barnabas and Saul away. They had to be listening. I will ask this question, and again, you probably know, I like to ask questions to myself, and rhetorical questions is what they call it, where you ask and don't expect the answer back, but how do we listen to the Holy Spirit? How do we talk to the Holy Spirit? How do we talk to God? It's not the Holy Spirit that we talk to, but how do we talk to God? We talk to Him through our prayers, and He talks through us to us through this book right here when we read it. And He does that through that still small voice. He does that through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I ask the question, am I listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit? If I'm going to make a big decision, I better be listening for His voice, for His guidance. I ought to be asking all five of these questions. Am I serving faithfully where I am? Am I seeking counsel? Am I fasting? Am I praying? Am I listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit? Great questions to ask. hard questions to ask, necessary questions to ask. You can take these questions and apply them to any major decision you're going to make in life. I see the teenagers in here. I see the children in here. These five kids with me, they're going to get drugged to Bulgaria. They get to go with me. They all want to go with me for the most part. Simeon typically doesn't want to go. And it's just funny, he one time said to Mom, "I don't want to go to Bulgaria. I want to stay on deputation and get rich." Somebody gave him $5 into a then five-year-old. That was a lot of money. And it was exciting. But as we make decisions, as we consider God's will for our life, ask these questions and say, "God, what would you have for me?" Teenager, growing up, you get to the point where you're interested in a boy. I've got a teenager. Getting interested in boys. You can ask these questions. Am I serving faithfully where I am? Am I seeking counsel on that relationship? Am I fasting and praying about that decision? Who you're going to live the rest of your life with is an important decision. It's an important decision. I think some praying and fasting is needed. And if we prayed and fasted about who our mate would be, maybe we wouldn't have as many divorces as we have today. Amongst Christians. I'm not even talking about amongst the world. But are we praying and fasting? Are we listening to the Holy Spirit? We can apply it there. I wish everybody here would apply it to missions, and I wish God would call everybody to Bulgaria, because that's where I'm going. But he doesn't. He calls some of us to reach home, right here. Why does he do that? As the kids sang about it, because if we don't go, who's going to tell them? If they don't get told, they'll never know of Christ who died for them. 6 points on the calling and sending of a missionary. 5 questions that can be asked. I don't know how the Holy Spirit is working this evening. A little bit different style of message, even for me, than what I typically would preach. But so important as we consider God's will for our lives. So important as we consider going to the mission field. Ask the questions if God's calling you. Ask yourself. Ask your pastor. Pray and fast. And listen for the Holy Spirit's guiding. That's the challenge out of that message. That's the challenge. I pray that as this church develops their missions program, that maybe God would call somebody from here to go to a foreign field. It would be amazing. It would be amazing. If he calls you, are you willing to go? As we sung earlier, we should be willing to go. We have the steps in front of us. We have the questions to ask. Let's get busy asking the questions, taking the steps. With that said, let's pray, and I'm going to turn the invitation time or the rest of the time over to Pastor. I always struggle how to do an invitation. I could talk all night long. But we get to an invitation, and I guess part of me hesitates with invitations because I've sat through so many where the pastor just waited for somebody to respond. And I don't want to be that preacher. But if God's dealt with your heart, then respond to his dealing. Let's pray, and I'll turn it back over. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you. We want to thank you for being the great and mighty God that you are, for being a God who gives us an example of sending out missionaries with Barnabas and Saul. Lord, as we look at missions programs here at Corinth Baptist Church, as hopefully you will call somebody to go to a foreign field from here, Lord, you would allow this to be an encouragement to the church. Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for this message. Thank you for your word. Apply it to our hearts, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.